Isaiah 59. Behold, Yahweh's hand is not shortened that it can't save, neither his ear heavy that it can't hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue mutters wickedness. So the people were complaining that, oh, God's not saving us. Oh, it seems God's not listening. And the question is, if you think that God's sort of far from you, well, who's moved? Not God. You have moved away. And so he says it's your sins that have hidden his face from you. And he criticizes the sort of things that they were doing, that their fingers had sin on them, their lips had spoken lies, their tongue had muttered wickedness. So God is watching every word that literally comes out of your lips, and even the things that you mutter under your breath. God is listening to that. And they did iniquity or sin with their fingers, the things that you might type on a keyboard, the little things that you do. God sees that. None sues in righteousness, none pleads in truth. They trust in vanity, speak lies, they conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch adder's eggs and weave the spider's web. He who eats of their eggs dies, and that which is crushed breaks out into a viper. So sin is like that. It might begin as just an egg, but in the end it turns into a snake. This is the problem with allowing ourselves some slack. Oh, I can do that sin. Oh, that's just one of those things. Oh, yeah, I let myself off with that. The problem is that sin by its nature turns into bigger things. Their webs will not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Desolation and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they have not known. There is no justice in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whoever goes therein doesn't know peace. Well, we might think that this is describing just very wicked people. And it is, but Paul quotes those verses about all of us in Romans. Their feet run to evil, they make haste to shed innocent blood. The way of peace they have not known. Well, so when you hear those words, you think, well, yeah, that's all the wicked people in the world. But the point is that we have all sinned. We have all done this. And this is what Paul does in Romans. He quotes these verses from the Old Testament about big-time sinners. And then he says, and that's all of you. But we are saved because we are in Jesus and we are covered in his righteousness. Vindication remains far removed from us, and deliverance does not reach us. We look for light, but behold darkness, for brightness, but we walk in obscurity. We grope for the wall like the blind, yes, we grope as those who have no eyes. We stumble at noonday, as in the twilight. Among those who are lusty, we are as dead men. We all roar like bears and moan bitterly like doves. We look for justice, but there is none, for salvation, but it is far from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. So they were crying out for salvation and for justice, and yet they weren't getting it. They were looking for light, but behold darkness, because of their sins. And this is, I think, the worst point that the condemned come to, that they come to a point where they desperately want to be saved, but it is too late. And that is what the Day of Judgment is going to be like, that people will desperately want to be saved, but it will be too late. And so it's like in the parable, the girls banging on the door, let us in, let us in. Well, Jesus will say, I don't know you, go away. So then all those who are responsible to God, and that's you and me, that we know God's ways, there'll either be everlasting life for us at the Day of Judgment or everlasting death. But how tragic if we've had the offer of salvation and have turned it down. When Jesus says the wicked will go away and bang their teeth in anger, Yeah, it'll be in anger against themselves. So then, now we're crying out for salvation, but as Isaiah has earlier said, now is the day of salvation. Now we cry out for salvation and we are given it if we want it. But in the day of condemnation, it will be too late. Transgressing and denying Yahweh, turning away from following our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. Now you see, this is what James says in James chapter 1, that sin is conceived in the heart. And here he's talking about false words, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. Well, as Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. This is why we need to control our thinking. This is why we need God's spirit or God's thinking within our spirit or thinking, so that we will control ourselves in our speech and say the right things. Justice is turned away backward and righteousness stands far off. Truth has fallen in the street and uprightness can't enter. Yes, truth is lacking and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. Yahweh saw it and it displeased him that there was no justice. He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation to him and his righteousness it upheld him. He put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. And he put on garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a mantle. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay. Wrath to his enemies, recompense to his adversaries. So this is obviously talking about Jesus, that God looked for somebody to be the intercessor, for somebody to be the saviour, to bring salvation, and there was nobody. And so therefore, God, through Jesus, became our saviour. And it says here that Jesus put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. Well, when Paul talks about the Christian soldier in Ephesians, he says that that's how we're all dressed, with the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, etc. So all that is true of Jesus becomes true of us, because if we're in Christ, all that is true of him becomes true of me. This is why I encourage people to be baptized into Jesus and to abide in Christ, so that he is you and you are him. And really, you are counted righteous. So he goes on, so shall they fear the name of Yahweh from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. That's from the east. For he will come as a rushing stream, which the breath of Yahweh drives. And the Redeemer will come to Zion and to those who turn from ungodliness in Jacob. So you could read that as meaning that when the Jews turn away from ungodliness in Zion, then Jesus will come to Zion, that's Jerusalem. As for me, this is my covenant with them, says Yahweh, my spirit which is on you and my words which I've put in your mouth shall not depart out of your mouth, nor out of the mouth of your seed, nor out of the mouth of your seed's seed, says Yahweh, from henceforth and forever.